try.
I'm going to jail. I had a bag full of shoes.
You look like you're on steroids.
Well, it was weird because I did have a bag full of shoes. And, you know, the inside of new shoes, they have wrinkled paper.
Yeah.
That looks sketchy. Yeah. Who knows what I was hiding in the toe of my shoe.
Yeah.
So the x-ray?
Yeah. Okay. No, no, no. There's no x-ray. It was just a guy feeling my shit up.
Hey, now. They always feel me up.
Hey, now.
Every time.
Feel your boobs?
My shoulder.
Yeah, me too.
My shoulders all
I told that because I was traveling with Sandy. I was like, he thinks there's something in my traps.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, right. He said that. I said, he said that.
What's in the front of your pants, sir?
I never got that one.
Oh, that. Yeah. But oh, I thought it was in Boston. It was in New York?
It was in Cincinnati.
So the Bulls win one game and you buy a hat?
The Bulls, we're going to the second round.
That's crazy.
We are.
Yeah, you're part of the squad, huh?
Yeah. Me and Derek
are you
Rose.
Fucking Scottie Pippen's illegitimate son?
Maybe.
Got the nose going.
With these skills.
I guess he could be legitimate.
Squatty Pippen.
Yeah. Yeah, someone on Instagram. That's a great name. Squatty Pippen.
Yeah. Pippen ain't easy.
Pippen ain't easy. There's a shirt like that. I think you showed
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Scottie Pippen was amazing.
Who's on the Bulls? They have that
Derek
one guy
Rose?
Who gets hurt all the time.
He's
yeah.
fine, though. He's back.
What's he doing?
Derek Rose. He's balling out.
Is he related to Jalen Rose?
Yeah, no.
Or Axel Rose?
Maybe Axel.
Mm-hmm.
They have him, Pau Gasol.
Ah,
Pau Gasol's
yeah,
a baller.
He's a savage.
Yeah, that Pau Gasol's amazing.
He's
like,
a beast.
He's like 7 foot tall.
Where's
he
from?
12.
France or some shit?
Is
no,
he?
He's Spanish, I'm lying.
Spanish.
Oh.
Yep.
Both the Gasol brothers.
God damn.
They also have this new kid, like Jimmy Butler. He's a baller.
I think, you know, I was just taking a leak before the podcast here. We have basically everyone has to pee before the podcast. We kind of get that nervous pee going.
When I drink like 8 cups of coffee this morning just to take
yeah,
a poop.
I know. And you know, the nervous pee, it just doesn't really dribble out. It just doesn't really dribble out the way that you would like.
It
but,
dribbles out.
But motherfuckers in here need to drink some water. The fucking pee that people like, it like crystallizes on the side of the bowl.
It would,
this like bright yellow fucking freakish looking thing.
Their pee would paralyze
it has, like,
Superman.
It has
orange.
Like diamonds in it.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck? How does that get through your fucking system?
It's like orange. The same goo that made the turtles into Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
You can see the Diana ball clearly. It doesn't even get diluted at
no.
all.
It's ammonia crystals, the same shit that's in Nose Torque.
Yeah.
God damn.
It's a new recipe.
Yeah.
Guys here just drink Nose Torque.
Do steroids look like that? They just look like glowing beans?
I don't know. I don't
we
know.
Would have no idea about that.
Nope.
Every once in a while, yeah, you can get if you get something good, it can make you pee different color right away. And you're like,
brown.
God damn. Yeah,
now you know it's working.
Brown.
A glow.
Yeah.
Then you know it's working.
Pee a little blood.
If it makes you glow.
But that nervous pee is fucking freaky. It doesn't have any like distance to it. It doesn't get away from your body at all. It's like almost like you piss yourself.
It dribbles down.
When I was wrestling in I wrestled in Japan and I got to wrestle for WWE.
Sumo?
The one time I wrestled for WWE was with my brother Mad Dog. And I told him, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, dude, I have to pee so bad. He goes, don't waste your time. He goes, you're just going to piss all over yourself. Then you'll have a giant pee stain all over the front of your fucking trunks.
Yeah, and you're singlet.
I'm like, fuck you. You're an idiot. I'll not listen. I never took his advice. I always did the opposite of whatever he said. Seemed like a good idea.
At the time.
Went to the bathroom, and sure enough, as soon as I put my shit back, just totally pissed myself.
Dude,
I'm like,
all,
oh my God.
Right with the pants
yeah.
club, it all
now
came
I
out.
Got a fucking pee stain. Now they're calling us out to the ring.
Do you think a wiener size plays a role in that, or is it just...
Well,
like, is yours too big?
Well, yeah,
you could tell us, Smelly.
Well, if you, the bigger the wiener, the kind of the more distance you get from your body. So.
No. I think the opposite.
No.
No, a big wiener flops. Not that I would know, but I've heard or seen.
Nope.
A big
it
wiener
flops.
Flops
like Vlade Divac?
A small wiener pokes.
Oh, pokes.
So.
No, I know, but like the further distance from your body that the wiener would be, the further the pee would be away from your body.
No, because the wiener would be going straight down.
Just
maybe.
Gravity.
Unless you're peeing with a boner.
Yeah. I don't, oh, yeah. Well, you got to do a handstand for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only time that a handstand comes in really, really useful.
That was the funniest thing in like some Justin Timberlake movie. I know I talk about his handsome self all the time, but Justin Timberlake's with like a Mila Kunis or something.
Friends with Benefits.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like fucking sprawled out on the wall trying to piss with a boner.
Well, there's that movie too with, God damn.
I thought that was Zac Efron.
Who the fuck is
I sure hope
not. Oh, he's laying on
the yeah,
lays on
yes,
the phone.
And he's on the phone.
Yeah, he's laying
I didn't see that.
The, like horizontal.
Who's the guy in fucking Dumb and Dumber? The main guy in Dumb and Dumber.
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. How the fuck
Oh, me myself and Irene?
Yeah, and
he is in the shower.
She's like, "Hey, did we she's asking him in the morning if they slept together." He's like, "No, I don't think so." And then he goes to pee and he just pees directly on the wall, even though he's standing right in front of the toilet. He's like, oh,
he grabs
maybe
the picture.
Maybe we did.
Possibly, yeah.
But he's like, what's
got
this?
Got some cum clog going on there.
It's a 12-inch long black dildo. He's like, well, then what's this? She's like, that was for you.
Got to clean out the pipes every once in a while.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Anyway, be careful with those nervous pees. They're not. They don't really go the way that you think they're going to go.
As we were saying earlier, too, caffeine and ephedrine and things like that, they affect the sphincter that shuts off your bladder so it doesn't leak. So
make sure you bleep that, Jim. I don't think we can say sphincter.
Sphincter?
Sphincter.
Bleep.
Well, we can say asshole, but we can't say sphincter. Same thing.
What else can we say on this show, Silent Mike? Don't you have some sort of soundboard that we got from squats.com?
Yeah, no, I turned it off.
By the way, Mr. Squats.com, you know, fucking hit us up, man. We want to send you a care package for that wonderful website you put together. Goddamn, squats.com.
Squats.
Fucking genius. And there's someone on Instagram named Squats, too.
There's a bunch of new Squats.
A couple people squatting.
Let's see what my volume's at.
A couple people are hitting it. Ooh.
Pretty good.
Let's see if this works.
Crank them out.
I don't know how loud it can be.
You look like you're trying to take a picture of the microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Lickerson. Steroids.
These are amazing.
And the best one.
That guy's dick was huge.
Hey, now.
Who the hell are you talking to?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know.
Gross.
Sometimes one thing leads to another.
Exactly.
His dick was huge.
Put it on an endless loop.
Dick was huge.
Endless loop.
So for those people that... So Mike's going to be playing that throughout. So squats.com is the website. Make sure you check it out. It's completely useful.
And it's not ours.
It's more useful than this podcast, that's for goddamn sure.
Yeah, it's so bad. We haven't podcasted in forever.
So for those of you that don't know, there was a... we went to the Tribeca Film Festival, all kinds of shit.
We took over New York.
We got a lot of shit to get to.
Yeah. I was trying to eat gelato in the middle of New York, and someone walked up and knew me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is the weird thing.
It's Silent Mike.
Mike and I hung out with Mike Rashid on Friday when we were there, and we're walking down the street, and some fan recognizes him. And Mike, I don't know if he's talked about it.
They hung out with Mike Rashid to have street cred in New
York,
let's be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, hey, you know, Brooklyn.
Real recognized for real.
It's scary walking through Soho in the middle of the day.
When you're white.
Yeah, so many white people.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were both impressed that somebody recognized him completely out of context, right?
Yeah, I think they wanted your fucking ice cream though.
Well, then Sunday after you left us, after you and Andy left us, we're walking down Fifth Avenue next to the park. And
yeah, we're in the middle of Central Park, and some guys like we're walking fast because we're trying to get somewhere. Me, Jim and Sandy, we're walking fast. We're trying to whatever. Some guys
burn
like
fat. You're trying to burn
brown
fat.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
And so the guy's going the opposite way, and he's kind of like Silent Mike, Jim McD, and then he turns around and like he's sort of like 3 feet past us.
That's great.
Yeah, it was funny.
And then the gelato guy at Eataly, which we highly recommend, by the way.
I wonder how sometimes people do spot us. I mean, I wonder if they're following like Instagram or the podcast, or if they're following something. Because like
the problem is we're everywhere.
Well, if I know, but if I see somebody and it's like out of context, I can't place where the fuck I know them from. Like, where the fuck do I know that guy from?
Right.
Even if it's somebody from Super Training.
Yeah.
Like if I saw like Marcus or something out somewhere. Yeah, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd recognize him. I know Marcus very well.
But you're not.
It would take
me
a second to be like, "Why the fuck is Marcus like in the mall?"
Marcus is going to cry now. Marcus doesn't even know me.
Yeah, why is he not in the gym? Don't worry, Marcus. I don't know anybody else in the gym either. Yeah. You're off the team. There we go. Yeah. So anyway,
so we come back. We've been here about 5 days.
And we got our boy Detroit is here with us today.
He's
very nervous to be on the podcast.
Not nervous.
His nervous pee turned into a nervous
He's
shit,
more of a fan of the podcast than the rest of y'all.
Yeah, I think he's listened to every episode.
I listened to a bunch of them.
And with his pants off.
Yep. Dick in my hand.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, wait.
All right.
Anyway, we had an incident here that Detroit is going to walk us through here.
He's watching CrossFit on his phone. I don't know what he's doing right now. He's so nervous. He can't concentrate.
It's bringing me back to like my college days when I had to give speeches.
He's looking at females' asses on Instagram to get rid of the boner that he has right now for the podcast.
Keeping me sane, these asses, Insta asses. But in college, I'd be giving this. In college, I'd have to give a speech, and I'd get up there, and I would be wet.
You didn't go to college. What are you fucking kidding?
I would be, within 2 seconds, I'd be completely wet.
Like, you went to 8 Mile, right?
I went to 8 Mile College, 8 Mile with,
College.
Eminem.
With Eminem.
He was actually there.
Yeah.
But no, so I work here. I work at the gym. I'm technically like the manager of the gym. If you come, If you have to,
is that a fart?
Fuck you. No, it's a snore. He's snoring. Snoring at my story.
There we go. He didn't even start it yet.
I work here, and like if the UPS guy comes and whatever, I take care of it.
Why were you talking shit on the UPS guy?
Oh,
you're a real asshole.
He's awkward.
You're an asshole.
We got to cut this. he listens to these.
You're an asshole.
That's great.
UPS guy.
Shout out UPS guy.
Shout out UPS guy. Thanks for the deliveries. You're the man. So I was about to clean the bathrooms and to impress my boss, Mark, because he texted me late at night and he's like, you got to step your game up. You suck. I'm going to fire you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh,
that's
shit.
That's actually all true, by the way.
That's definitely true. He does it like once a week. He's like, this is not good enough.
Sounds like maybe you should step it up.
And I start to worry. I'm not going to be able to pay my rent.
He comes in at midnight and cleans the gym.
Yeah, I come in at midnight and do bicep curls and fucking clean the piss off the toilet out of sheer guilt. But so I was in there and I was cleaning the bathroom and I noticed that the light wasn't working and I'm like, that's weird. Usually even the light switch has a little light.
Stay
on
a little closer to the mic there. Pretend it's a cock.
Yeah, don't act like you haven't had something that big and black in your mouth.
Comfortable with it now.
You're good. Just like that. Oh yeah. Oh, you got the technique.
Oh shit. But
it's called blowing the Muppet.
Blowing the Muppet.
Yeah.
But so I noticed that the light switch didn't work, and all throughout this, I'm kind of smelling a little something. But for those of you who don't know, we're in like a little industrial area with a lot of semi trucks and like diesel and stuff like that.
It always smells like ass.
It always kind of smells weird, and I was just thinking it was kind of something wafting in from outside, so I didn't really notice it. And so I go to the bathroom, and the light isn't working, and I start smelling something. I start putting two and two together. And I'm like, that kind of smells like plastic or whatever. So I walk out of that bathroom. I'm like, well, let me see if the other bathroom's light is working. So I go to open the door. I'm like, just relax. I didn't think there was a fire. There was no smoke out in the hallway. And I open that door, and boom, the biggest, like, billowing black toxic smoke. And
like Mission Impossible. It was like Mission Impossible.
It was the movie Backdraft. And it blew me back. It was slow motion. It blew me back like a shotgun. And
the pressure.
And I hit the wall, and I twisted my ankle, and
started bleeding just, from it, your nose. Sacrifice to win.
It was a disaster. And
did you know what to do? I mean, I don't think I know what to do. I would just run out of the building crying.
For about 2 seconds, I didn't tell you, but that's what I did. I ran out of the building crying. No, but for about 2 seconds, I was in total shock.
Right.
Because all I saw was black. I opened the door and all I saw was black smoke. And what do you even think of that?
Right.
You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Dump a glass of water on it? Yeah.
Start spitting. Start peeing. your nervous pee on it.
I mean, if that's shock, that was the definition of shock. Like, you don't know what to do. You don't know how bad it is because you can't see in there. It's just pure
I've been
blood.
Like that before where I've, like, hit into another car and I don't even beep the horn because I'm like, ah, I don't know what to do.
No,
and I crashed, like, super slow, slipping on some ice a long time ago. But,
Yeah,
you know what to do. You're total shock. Like, you just freeze and you do nothing.
It's like an out-of-body moment for everything feels real slow because I'm thinking, well, here I am. This is my responsibility, this place, and it's on fire.
Now you're like, really fired.
I'm thinking everything is flammable. I'm like,
your life's going up in smoke with the gym.
Yeah. I'm like, he's going to think I started it out of spite for not cleaning the gym. I'm like,
arson.
A split second I'm thinking this. And so for those 2 seconds, I'm like, all right, in shock. And I kind of close the door. And by this time, right when I opened the door, the whole hallway from about the ceiling to real low was just thick black smoke.
Closing the door, by the way, solves everything. I used to do that. When my parents would tell me to clean my room, I'd just close it.
You're like, yep, you
don't have to see it now. Done.
Nothing's happening on the other side of this door.
That's right.
So I closed the door and I composed myself. And I was like, well, I got to see how bad it is or what's going on. I open the door, look in there. I see through the smoke, I see a fire up there, and I see a big fire down there. And
Down by the toilet,
we have a rack, which is like a fancy little rack that holds like 5 or 6 rolls of toilet paper. And that
it's whole, like so a fancy. T-shirt cannon thing, full of toilet paper.
Yeah, the whole thing was just a bomb. It's just a fire hazard. And the whole thing was on fire. The
fucking bathroom blew up.
The bathroom blew up on my watch.
That's disgusting.
I'm totally responsible for that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. The fan.
How'd you get the fire out?
Well, we've been having issues with that fan.
Right.
And it turns out that the
and
fan
making weird noises.
Yeah, it sounded like Optimus Prime every time it came on.
Yeah. And it smelled. had a weird smell to it and shit, and I thought an animal must have crawled up in there and like clogged the fan.
Right.
Like, stopped it from spinning, and then it was trying to turn on.
You thought a raccoon started the fire?
I thought
this story's getting a little weird.
I know
now.
A raccoon started the fire, goddamn.
A raccoon, perhaps from another power thing, Jim, that's got heat with us.
Yeah.
Said, fuck these guys. Lit a fucking cigar up there.
He had beef.
Some people throw shade.
It was probably Jillian Michaels. She knew this podcast was coming for her.
That's right.
Try to burn the podcast studio down.
God damn it, Jillian.
But,
did you know that we had a fire extinguisher?
No, I didn't. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know.
You just kind of run around and start looking for one?
Well, I looked in the break room because if it was going to be in there, right. That would be one of the places it would be.
Right.
And it wasn't in there, so then I started looking in the actual gym area. It's hard.
You're too
to
smart to have one in the front of the gym.
Yeah, where all the carpet and flammable yeah, shit.
Let's put it by
put
the metal.
All cement back there.
Right.
Put it back there, and but we have sprinklers throughout the whole gym and everything. It's a big office area and everything. Those didn't turn on. So
thank God.
Those are useless. I don't know if those are broken.
And have you ever used a fire extinguisher?
I've never used a fire extinguisher
how the fuck
before
did you
in
figure
my life.
Did you just read the instructions or you just fucking go for it?
The fire is still going and I'm sitting there reading the tag and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I know you pulled the pin, so I pulled the pin right and I had it on the bench press on the competition
bench. Did it explode or something?
I set it on the bench press and I'm reading the tag and I pull the pin and it goes, poof! And I must have, I don't know what happened, but it put a big thing and I'm like, oh, that's how you work it. And
right.
Then I ran to the bathroom and hit the whole fucking bathroom, and it was all a real mess. Within. I'm a hero.
Yeah,
I mean, it was maybe 10 seconds. I was just
hero of the day.
Well, once I got out of that initial shock, I was like focused.
It's right,
crazy.
Deadlifts afterwards because you're so fired up.
Yeah,
big
I hit
PR.
A PR. Yeah, I ran a marathon, and I had that adrenaline. But no, I rolled my freaking ankle, and then I set a squat PR. So the adrenaline must have been.
Well, in an emergency situation, it's always a good idea to call me. I was right there on the fucking spot, right?
Yeah, Mark calls me.
This is the best part of the story.
Me and Mark are supposed to squat at like 11. Maybe this happened at 10,
10:30. This was at like 10.
Mark calls me at like 10:50.
I'm like, we're not able to squat. The gym's on fire.
Mark super calmly calls me.
Yeah.
Hey, super training's on fire.
Those words exactly.
I'm heading over in a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, should I head over? And Mark always fucks with me, you know, so I thought it was nothing. And Mark's like, yeah, Detroit said, I was like, oh, the story's a little too complex to be a joke. It's like, Andy went over, I think. Maybe I'll go over in a bit.
My wife ran out of the house with a fire extinguisher. She's like, amazing. Somebody should be there. I'm like, ah, I got another meal to eat. I'm going to eat some food.
Yeah, we got a squat. So
did you have it on speakerphone? Because I heard her.
I go,
I must have been out of breath because I'm sprinting back here. I'm running up here. I ran outside.
You're like, the gym's on fire. I'm like, huh? The bathroom. It's on fire.
So calm. It pissed me off how calm you were. I was like, ah! I was like, it's on fire.
But you did say you called the fire department.
No,
so
I called them
like,
first, obviously. Yeah.
There isn't anything else that you are going to do.
You're not
going to
fucking do it.
You're
10, 15 minutes away at least.
Yeah,
right.
I just knew I had to call him and let him know, but it was just crazy how calm he was. He was like, I could hear him flipping steak like in a pan. He's like, eh. So
it was fish. It was
cod. I'll be there in 5 minutes. You're like, I'll be there in a little bit. And I was like, you're way too calm.
If it's still burning in 10 or 15 minutes, there isn't anything you can do.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't even when I called him, I didn't know how bad it was because I had ran outside.
I'm just thinking like, well, if it's real bad, we'll just have to buy a new gym.
I knew that's exactly
if it's only like a little bit bad, then no big deal.
I have insurance, right?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Remember that card I gave you the other day with the insurance guys that you threw away?
Yeah. Yeah, all the mail that you give me that I throw away every single time.
I'm like, here's a stack of mail. You're like, boop.
God damn. Yeah, that was it was interesting. And we have this wonderful souvenir of burnt fucking toilet paper. Oh, yeah, you can put it on top of the desk here. We have some people that are watching on the YouTube.
Freaking reeks.
For those of you that aren't watching on the YouTube, of course it smells. Those of you that are not watching on the YouTubes, we'll post a picture of it.
It looks like it has pee on it as well.
Yeah, I peed on it.
Yeah, it probably has some urine on there.
It looks like it has a lot of pee.
That's
on
all
it,
nervous.
Especially
that is some like fucking futuristic art, though. I dig it.
It is. We're gonna be entering that.
I fucking dig it.
We'll hang on to it. And we'll enter it in the state fair art competition.
Yeah, you got to lacquer it. Lacquer it up and
stay strong, Sacramento. We're gonna rebuild.
What
this
did they
bitch.
Even do? They like sprayed it with water. They pulled. Yeah. That was what they pulled out. The guy pulled out a huge hose.
What did the firemen do when they came? Did they do anything?
Rip their shirts off, start booty shaking
stripping,
everywhere. Yeah.
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got
there was
excited.
Like 20 of them here.
I was like,
yeah, I saw like three fire trucks. No, there was. I was pulling up. Yeah. I was like, damn, they thought this shit was serious.
They thought the whole thing was gonna go.
Yeah.
My wife was excited. There. She's like, 20 guys in uniform. This is great.
Yeah, she ran over with the fire.
She's out there taking selfies with
yeah,
them.
Yeah. But
can I see a little bit more chest?
She's wondering why their hoses were so big. Hey now.
Hey now. Hey, Magic Mike 2 coming out soon.
Yep, with Michael Strahan.
And our slangin' boys, he's still in there, right?
We're all going to be there first day for that, right?
Is it Joe?
Front row, screaming.
What's that guy? I can't even say that guy's name.
Joe Manganiello?
Sure.
Manganiello?
Yeah.
Manganiello, yeah.
You know that name really well.
Yeah.
Super fan.
He uses
super
a slingshot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're just hoping that we could oil him up for the next Magic Mike. If there's
Magic Mike
3.
Who's he married to? Sophia, what's her name?
Sure.
Just
Vergara?
Oh, yeah. From the, what's that show? That's a funny show.
I don't watch any of
that. From that show, Breasts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Breast.
TNA. TNA.
What is the name of that show? I love that show.
Modern Family.
There we go. That's a great show.
Never seen it.
Never seen it, really?
Just seen her.
God damn. What is my... Quinn watches something really funny, too. It's like End of the Earth or something. Last Man on Earth. Yeah.
I watched that.
It's so really funny.
It's pretty funny.
It's really funny.
I watched it last night.
Yeah, Quinn just sits there laughing her butt off.
Yeah, it's funny.
Will Forte. Is the guy.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Will Forte fan, but it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't really like him.
Awkward.
Yeah, I don't really like him.
He pulled it out on Saturday Night Live. Like, he was never nervous, never fucked up on Saturday Night Live, which has to be totally hard.
Yeah. It's, oh,
Jesus.
That's got to be the hardest thing
to do. I'd freeze up instantly.
I'll smash Saturday Night Live. Put me on that.
Who's dancing
and shit?
I'll murder that show.
Is that the same show with the... No, that's a different show, I think. The big fat guy that's always yelling? What's that show? That might be... No, it's not Modern Family.
That's called Supertrending.tv.
It's like set up in the 80s. What's that show? God damn.
The Goldbergs. I don't watch it, but I know it's
really... That show is awesome. You guys got to watch that. That show's fucking...
They got cable.
That show's fucking great.
I can't relate.
Do I have cable?
No.
I guess I do. I don't know.
You do.
Do I have cable?
I got lots of channels. I don't know.
I got cable. I got satellite.
900 channels.
I don't watch that much TV, though, even though I love TV. I don't know how to work our television is actually the main problem. I'd rather watch the YouTubes.
How do you survive?
I don't know.
I can watch YouTube on my television.
You know, the problem with I have like Xfinity or some bullshit, and I don't. You never learn the channels on there. You never learn like what channel.
It doesn't even show them anymore.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't show the actual channel. So I know that ESPN's like 700 something. So I always go to the 700s and I flip around until I find ESPN.
Sounds like total bullshit.
Take this thing down now because it's starting to kill me.
No, that's gross. It's like chemical fire.
Chemical and toilet paper and
it does smell.
Char.
Like 10 feet away.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a little bit of poo on there. All right, Detroit. You got any closing statements? We got to kick you off the team. You want to tell anybody, like, fuck off or anything?
Yeah, fuck
or...
off, all of you.
You already said that to the UPS, man. That's fucked up.
All right. All right.
Thank you. That was a great fucking story.
Yep.
Now what do we got to talk about?
I don't know.
Our trip?
Yeah, let's talk about
our diet. You look shredded, buddy.
I've been working out.
I've been lifting weights.
I've been chopping down trees.
I've been doing something different lately.
Yeah, I'm actually getting some help from... Amit Sapir has been helping me.
That's not a real name.
I know, it's not. Yeah, armpit something. I don't know. He's probably pissed at me.
He's got the biggest jet of fucking quads in the world.
Yeah, he's huge.
Chris Duffin's guy.
Yeah, he's been helping Chris
guy.
Duffin. He's just, you know, he's one of the best nutritionists out there. He's one of the best coaches when it comes to
pro bodybuilder
diet. Yeah, he's pro bodybuilder. He has an Olympic lifting background, and plus he's an ass kicker in powerlifting.
He's going to take some records soon. I feel
he
it.
Had the all time record in the squat for a little bit.
Seven.
I think he's coming back to 720
ish maybe in sleeves.
Yeah, I think he can get two or three different records. Yeah. You know, in sleeves. You know, with
maybe
the
in
knee
the total.
Wraps
what's the total? 2014 at 198 by our Jesse Norris.
Eric or Ernie Lillibridge.
Wraps.
Oh, yeah, with wraps, yeah.
So in sleeves, I think it's 215 or so, and it's
he's
Jesse.
He's a dangerous mofo. But basically, you know, I followed a bodybuilding style diet before. I had one from an old friend, old super training member, Ed Koo, helped me back a few years. Well, not even that long ago, but
that was probably a year ago.
A lot of you have seen the BSN photos. He helped me kind of prepare for that photo shoot. And, you know, I just lately I haven't really been on a real plan. You know, whenever I'm not on a diet, I still try to eat like a meathead, where, you know, I'm usually eating you know, a lot of meat throughout the day, and I'm trying not to eat too much junk. But at the same time, when I'm not on a diet, if I'm going to have dessert, or if I want to drink, or if I want to just do whatever, I will.
Yeah. You know, there's some basic rules you follow no matter what.
I'll eat some stuff that's off the plan. You know, I'll eat like cereal and shit like that I normally would never eat, you know, if I'm trying to follow something stricter. But basically, you know, I wanted to make some changes. I wanted to see if I can get... if I could take it to the next level. I know that, like, the shape I was in for that BSN shoot was good, but I know I can do better. So
you're stepping on stage is what you're announcing.
I just want to see how far I can take it. I don't really care about, being a bodybuilder per se, but I just want to be fucking shredded up. So I just want to see where I can take it to. I know the strength is going to suffer. You know, you always hear people talking about, this guy maintained his strength. It's all bullshit. You don't usually maintain your strength. There's going to be some sort of hit. You're not going to be as strong when you're losing body fat.
Or feel as good.
Yeah, when you're trying to lose significant amounts of body weight. But not to give away too much of what Emmett does, but basically it's a standard bodybuilding diet where the fat calories are very, very low. They're very restricted. And... carbohydrates for me aren't that high either. I'm only taking about 250 carbs a day, and a little bit more than 1 gram per pound of body weight and protein. So that's kind of the gist of it. And it's not like if it fits your macros type of diet where I can substitute a Pop-Tart for something. It's more strict than that. It's more regimented than that. He kind of gives me like an exact list of the different things he wants me to try to stick to. And so far, it's been pretty good, minus the trip to New York. I tried to, develop some habits before I left in the 3 to 4 days that I had, that he gave me the diet before we left for the trip to New York. But I just figured when we're in New York, might as well eat some fucking pizza and have a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
Bacon, egg, and cheese hard roll.
So good.
And
that was really delicious.
Goddamn, those are good. And I just wanted to have some fun with it. So that's kind of what I'm doing next.
And is that for a photo shoot or just for life?
Nah, it's just, probably. I'll probably get,
who are we kidding? You're going to be naked.
I'll probably get in shape and just set something up.
You got a phone, you have a bathroom mirror, every day is a photo shoot.
That's right.
We should just set a date and take some nudies together.
By the way, a photo shoot is just anything more than like two pictures, I think. You know, like when you go to take a picture with somebody and they're like, oh shit, it was on video. And then they take another one and then they take another one. Now you're in a photo shoot.
So what about... So selfies, to post a selfie, you take how many?
Oh, to post a selfie,
five, right?
That ends up being a photo shoot.
Minimal of five.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you scroll through and you compare your facial gestures and your fucking biceps and triceps.
Yeah, and there's something stupid in the background. You got to take
angles. Yeah. Your thongs drying in the behind you.
In the background.
Yeah.
Based on reaction that I've gotten from, pictures of me that have been up lately, apparently I just need to stay kind of fat because everybody thinks I'm jacked at this weight.
The world loves it.
I know. I don't know.
I get a similar reaction. You know, when I'm like 260, people are like, I love you when you're this weight.
I'm about 220 right now. I could lose 20, 25 pounds, and I would look kind of on the smaller side. I wasn't going to do it before this trip. I mean, that was the bottom line. I'm just not going to do it. And also, you know, I've been trying to get back to hitting some weights.
Right.
And, like, take a big calorie restriction and then try to put it together with...
Yeah, get consistent one thing first.
Right,
Take one step at a time.
Right. Trying to change too many things at one time is a bad idea.
Guess who just followed me on Twitter?
Oh, my God.
Roman Harper.
This just in.
The DB from the Panthers.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck? He must love the hip circle.
Yeah, I remember they were hip circling fucking so mad. Awesome. That was like a goddamn commercial for the hip circle.
I know. I didn't even know. Someone tagged us in something.
Yeah.
I mean, we know people use it. You know, we know
the
Saints and the Panthers and Notre Dame and all these people are using our stuff. But
basically, if you're not using it, you're just a fucking loser.
Kind of.
You want to be second place.
I wonder if Roman listens to us.
You don't want
to
be a champion, then fine. Don't use it.
Roman.
A lot of people listen to us.
Tap 2 if you're listening to this.
Hmm?
Press 2. You know, you like press 1 if you want.
Tap your foot? What?
Huh? Hey, now.
Well, our handler, your handler, who handled all of us, we were all handled by this very large man. In New York.
What does that even mean?
At Tribeca, was a fan. Is a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Demetrius.
Yeah, security.
Yeah, the film festival thing was fucking awesome. And hopefully my brother has some sort of premiere out here as well. in California. Probably, I would imagine he'll probably have something in
Hollywood or something,
Los Angeles, just to kind of beef up the, you know, the hype about the film and everything. But yeah, it was really cool. You know, I didn't see the film until, you know, until I went to it, just like you guys. That was my first, first viewing of it was with you guys.
Your fat face is all over it.
And yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
The beginning was really rough.
Yeah, I thought the film was good. It's not as relatable to me as, I mean, although, you know, a lot of my family members are in it and stuff, it's still not relatable to me as much as weights are, like bigger, stronger, faster, right. Steroids and weights. That's my fucking game, right? But I did think it was I thought it was great, and I liked some of the points it got across about prescription medication and how dangerous they are. There were points of it that I didn't like, even though I've been around addiction pretty much my entire life with my grandparents having their issues and stuff like that. I still don't like when people pass the blame onto anything else, so to try to pass the blame onto pharmaceutical companies, I just think is a cop out. Personally,
I think
manage yourself as an adult, and whatever happened to you as a child, or whatever heartache or whatever problems you have as you go through life, whether it's you suffered a severe injury and now you need something to cope with the pain, or whether your heart is broken because something happened, at the end of the day, you are an adult and you must function like one. You must become part of society. You must figure out a way.
Yeah.
To at least be normal, or at least be average,
or fake it when you're in public.
I
think that you're talking about something that's very difficult, though.
It's extremely difficult. I don't want to bypass the whole addiction thing because it can be severe and it can override and control your entire life, and I understand all that. But having, you know, hearing something like, "Oh, the doctors want you to stay sick," I'm not buying that somebody gets into medicine and goes to school for 8 years to want to keep people sick. I do understand they want to make money. I get that, and maybe with their practice, maybe over a period of time they become irresponsible.
That's kind of what they even said about Yeah, about the whole process is just it happened over time, right?
Right.
And, you know, in the 80s or whatever, there was no commercials.
And are the pharmaceutical companies kind of making up products? Probably.
Absolutely.
But the products that they're talking about in the film are not products that are being like made up. Restless leg syndrome, for someone to take I have no idea what that drug even is.
Yeah.
But I would imagine the side effects of that are minimal, and it's probably not addicting the way like OxyContin is.
Well, the key to a lot of this stuff is just education. And like you said, it's kind of an individual, and it's kind of on yourself to make yourself educated, but the lack of education is everything.
They talk about the direct advertising from the pharmaceutical companies. That part of it kind of blew my mind. I never even really thought about that.
It gets a little hairy.
But again, the pain medications are not directly advertised to the consumer. So, I mean, they don't have to be because people – you know, people get so fucking high off them that it doesn't matter. At least we haven't jumped to that point.
Right. You know? I don't know. I just spent a couple of days in D.C. at Walter Reed with my boy Will, who actually I can throw this out here now. They were trying to save his leg after he was wounded in Afghanistan, and they came up with a way to put a titanium rod in where he was missing a lot of bone. And it's pretty common if you break a bone and they're trying to set it, the best way to set it is to put a titanium rod in. But he had big hunk of bone missing, and with just a little bit of it holding together. So they did an experimental thing to try to put that back together, and then did a bone graft on top of that. And the good news that came like right after I left was that it is almost completely healed.
Wow.
Nice.
And he's has no restrictions, and they have him on a return to running program already. So that part is great. The part that's rough is that he's been on pain medication for 9 months.
Yeah.
And a lot.
Right.
Early on, especially. And they're continuing to reduce it,
right?
But it still conflicts with his normal functioning. You know what I mean? Like it affects his sleep and affects
that
his
kind of stuff. Gets to be so complicated because like the amount of money and time they'd have to put into that individual has got to be significant. You know, like he not only is he trying to come off of a drug, but he's also he dealt with a lot of crazy shit.
Right.
He nearly died and had multiple injuries, and you know his mental state could be compromised forever, regardless of drug or no drug.
Right.
And so that has to be extremely difficult for anybody to try to figure out. You know?
I can tell you the physical addiction is very strong there. You know, the psychological addiction I don't think is there at all.
Right.
You know, at this point, at least, you know, which is heartening. But you can just see how people end up in these long-term scenarios with pain medication. And then, like, he isn't in that much pain anymore, but they're not. They can't quickly take him down.
Right.
You know, it has to be done over a period
of time.
You
get desensitized to a certain point to what you're taking.
Right.
You know, and then also, you know, I noticed just with what my brothers were doing, like everything started to hurt after a while. You know, everything was like they were like more directly connected to pain.
More sensitive to pain in general.
Yeah. Like they'd get a little bit of pain and they'd be like, oh, I got to take something for it. And it's like, oh, you probably, you know. It just going down that whole road is brutal. But you know, some people have to do it, you know, for medical reasons. I mean, we've seen that happen in our own gym with people in the past that they have to take stuff and then they end up being hooked on it. So it sucks. You know, I don't know what way you get around that. You know, I do think, you know, you would hope that the medical community would at least say, hey, you know what, these are highly addictive. They're necessary for you to take for a little while, but you have to have an exit strategy. You know, you'd almost hope that they would show you like a calendar and like, here's kind of when we want to be clear of these. You know, if everything goes okay, this would be a good time to pull back on these and then maybe just add in something simple like Advil or something.
The biggest thing I learned from the movie is kind of like the education thing. And so like pharma trains the pharma reps and sales reps on, hey, this med does this and this is how you do it. And then they go and sell it to the doctors. The doctors may have never heard of it before.
Right.
So you already have like the game of telephone going on.
Yeah.
So the miscommunication could be great.
Right.
Plus the education of the actual doctor is secondhand from the company.
Right.
That's, you know, like.
And the sales rep, how much do they really know about the product?
Probably not much. A 2-hour class or
who
knows what.
And they just learned about it. Yeah.
Everybody just learned about it because it's brand new. Smelly comes in and his nails are yellow. Oh, I got this med that makes your nails white.
Right.
I heard from my rep who heard from the fucking company making the money, and that gets all hairy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It gets to be complicated. But like I said, I thought it was a great film, and obviously there's a lot of like heartfelt stuff in there from, you know, the family and that whole side of it. You know, I like the message that it had overall. I thought something that great that came out of it was after the film. You know, Mike Rashid was able to get to the movie, and you know, after the film there was a Q&A, and he got up and kind of said. Which I think is the ultimate question is what can we do about it? How do we help? How do we assist? How do we get involved? And how do we, and again, I think what you said, education is crucial. You know, having a film like this, available to people, having this shown in, you know, in high schools and stuff like that, I think would be huge.
It's kind of a rare,
that would be a good start.
It's kind of a rare thing because it's literally only America.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like other countries, I mean, obviously they have it to a different extent, but it's America that has a huge issue with this. And and what the movie touches on and in the Q&A, your brother and the rest of the editors, they talk about culture.
Right. This is kind of like almost like wealthy people problems. Not like.
Yeah. Not everyone's rich, but
Yeah, not everyone's rich, but it's
a first world
American
problem.
Yeah, it's an American issue. Yeah. Nobody is worried about where they're going to sleep at night, or nobody is actually going hungry. Nobody is is freezing cold and sleeping in the fucking woods, except for Chris Duffin.
I got a story around that.
But
too,
you know what I mean? So like those people, you know, if you're in a different country and you have to worry about where your next meal is coming from, you have to literally kill something to get
your shoulder
next
pain's
meal.
Not going to be your issue.
Yeah, you're not worried about medicating your fucking knee pain or whatever it is.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I think that the flip side of that I've experienced with my father-in-law and both of my parents was that when they were at the end stage with cancer, getting doctors to give them enough pain medication because they're somehow afraid they're going to be addicted. Like, I don't know why that becomes a thing. Like, these people are at the end of life. They've got
just light them up.
They've got less than
give
6 months
some rum
to live.
With it too.
They've got less than 6 months to live. I had a huge argument with my dad's primary care doctor.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, you're giving him too many drugs." Well, he's number one, he's dying, and number two, he's wandering the house at night if you don't sedate him. So, like, what am I supposed to do here?
Right.
You know, I don't understand why that's such a problem. It's a that's another American kind of issue where we don't want to face the fact that people are going to die. And so we don't have to worry about whether they become addicted to something or not. They're at the end stage. Why not, you know, why not take the pain away, for Christ's sake?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I just have Smelly to take my pain away.
Oh, my God.
Things are getting too deep.
Things are getting too deep. Deep, deep, deep. But the entire experiences of the film and of being in NYC was awesome. Even though I'm from New York, I have not even been in New York City many times.
Yeah,
I went to a few Yankee games, been to like some Jets and Giants games as a kid. That's actually in New Jersey. But my dad and I stayed in New York City a couple times. I went and saw the Knicks play. I got to see Michael Jordan.
That's sick.
Dunk on John Starks, that play that he makes on the baseline that they show all the time. Well, he actually dunked on Patrick Ewing, but he got past John Starks.
Pretty much dunked on everybody.
But it was, you know, all that stuff, all those experiences of going to New York City, and especially as a kid, it was just so overwhelming. And even going back there now as an adult, it's still fucking overwhelming.
Yeah.
Going to see where the towers were and the memorial setup they have there.
Yeah.
And, you know, having a guy in the gym who had had his dad pass away in the towers and being able to see his name there and stuff was extremely powerful and emotional. That whole entire setup is unbelievable. And when I showed my kids the video of it, like my wife and I videoed, you know, the waterfall and all that stuff. Yeah. And I said, you know, the when the towers were here, you know, millions of people would gather around the country or gather around the world, rather, to see how big these towers are. And I said, now millions of people still gather around. So the mission that was set out to, you know, to happen, to try to destroy and the evilness behind it all was never really accomplished the way that they thought it would be, you know. Right. Still bringing people together, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, as you said, too, especially the beginning of the film was also very emotionally impactful, because seeing Mad Dog again in footage that we hadn't seen before, it was like he was alive again, and it was like losing him again too.
Some of that was a little weird, you know. Some of that was emotional for me on different levels. You know, I try not to remember the state that he's in those videos is not a good state.
Right.
He had you know, he had many, many problems with many different drugs, and he was not able to get a hold of his life. So I try to remember him when he was younger. I try to remember him as the kid that would get up, you know, during a baseball game, and everybody'd say, "Back up," you know, because they saw how big and strong he was, and they knew he was going to knock the fuck out of the ball. That's the kind of stuff I think about, or seeing him when he played football. I mean, he was a hero to me growing up. So I try to think of him in that light. So seeing him in the film in that way is sad to me on different levels, because I just knew what, you know, every day was such a struggle for him. But it is a good it's a good tale of addiction. It's good to show people what can happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone that gets to see the film, you know, try to listen to how fast he's talking. That's not the way he normally was. He didn't normally talk like that. Although he was highly excitable, he'd get fired up and stuff. He was emotional.
Yeah.
For sure. But that's a lot of drug induced many, many years of the drugs taking over his brain and even causing probably brain damage.
Yeah,
kind of made him the way he was in the film.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. We were all sort of sitting there with tears in our eyes.
Yeah,
but so it was very affecting. I talked to Greg, who is Chris's editor, and he said, "Yeah, can you just imagine like getting this footage and having it fit so perfectly with the film?"
Yeah,
you know, it's like okay, try this, and it's like, oh my God, it's.
Yeah.
So much impact.
Yeah, and it's cool to see my dad in there. You know, my dad's always
super. Your dad's amazing.
Yeah, he's always super supportive, and he's always just right there. He's always trying to, you know, do the best job he can.
Right.
And I think that that's a huge message too. I remember when we had Tate on the podcast, and he said, basically, don't try to control what your kids are doing. Don't be a fucking asshole. They're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
And my dad was never really like trying to control anything. He was trying to manage stuff, which was you know, great on his part and extremely understanding on his part, coming from the family that he did, where there really, as far as I know, there really wasn't a lot of addiction.
Yeah.
There wasn't any of those major problems that my brother went through, but my dad was able to just kind of say like, all right, well, everybody's different, you know, for whatever reason, he's this way. And I'm going to try to support him and figure out a way to get him to a better place, whatever way I can.
Right.
Even though your dad's a little bit older, he's still wise beyond his years.
Yeah.
He's very, everything he says is so right.
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, you know, someday, hopefully, we can kind of capture some of the speeches that he gives me sometime. I mean, they're epic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the
really powerful.
The thing about being a good parent is not trying to be a perfect parent. It's just trying to take your best shot at it all the time and being thoughtful. And your dad is always like that.
Yeah, it's not an easy job, that's for sure. And you're on call for the rest of your life,
yeah,
basically.
It never fucking ends. Right. Never fucking ends. It gets different as you get older.
Yeah,
for sure. But like I can tell you from experience that this last year has been the most demanding. As a parent, yeah, since my kids were babies. So,
right. You know. And you just try to give them the tools that you can so they can kind of go off on their own and do some of their own things. And
yeah.
And they can. And yeah. they are. But yeah. Then, you know, they're going to always need, you know, they always need something. They always need some sort of support or help in some sort of way. Who else are you going to go to?
Right.
You know, besides your parents. You can't always go to a friend and share every little thing with a friend, even a close friend sometimes. You just can't. It's not the same. You know, having a parent there to not judge the things you're about to say is good, you know?
It's different.
Hell yeah. What'd you think of the film otherwise, Mikey?
It was good. It had a lot of vibes, like Bigger, Stronger, Faster, in terms of here and there they'll throw up a funny cartoon, blah, blah, blah. You know, the vibe was the same, but it was heavy. It's really heavy. I don't have a lot of experience necessarily with prescription drugs, but just addiction in general is heavy. And everyone has some kind of addiction around them, whether it's even us. You know, we're addicted to caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the three of us don't really have a drug abuse problem, but addiction. You can see it and feel it everywhere.
Right.
So it's heavy, and I think it will relate to a lot of people. And even the amount that Bigger, Stronger, Faster has been seen, I hope this gets seen a little bit more, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope
just
so,
because I think it could save some people.
Yeah, it's a broader audience, I think.
The interesting thing is I've had people come up to me about Bigger, Stronger, Faster telling me that it saved their life, which is amazing, you know. And it's not like – it's not like there's some sort of medical advice that saved their life or anything like that. Like, prescription thugs may have that sort of message to it, where it's like, you know, stay the fuck away from prescription drugs and be very careful with the ones that you may have to take at some point in your life. But Bigger, Stronger, Faster, people were just like motivated by it and excited by it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as Supertrain.tv.
Yeah.
You know, we get emails here and there.
And
it's
the
pretty
podcast.
Yeah,
you know.
A guy showed me at the Arnold Classic. He showed me a video. And it's of Hulk Hogan pinning the Iron Sheik. And he's like, my brother, you know, he has problems like your brother had. He goes, and I send this to him every day. I said, don't ever forget about this. And I only kind of barely understood what he meant. But I think what he meant was like, hey, we used to watch this as kids. This is a moment that we shared watching this as kids. Don't forget about the excitement that we had kind of watching this and how it pumped us up.
Life can be cool.
To get into like lifting.
As life is and like as much as things suck, like there's always at least 51% of life is better than the 50% or 49% that sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you change your view a little bit, cup half full, blah, blah, blah. But if you change your perception or view a little bit, life's fucking cool.
Yeah. And I think some of that, you know, kind of shows in Prescription Thugs, where you get some people that are so dragged down by the different medications. And one of the most powerful medications, and I have seen and heard some stuff before, but I just didn't know it was this over the top, was the effect of antidepressants and how brutal they are. The story that's in the film is just so graphic and just absolutely terrifying that I couldn't believe it. That was probably the most impactful thing of the entire film, in my opinion. And the Taylor Hooton story is not necessarily a story of steroids. It's a story more of antidepressants, if you really follow what happened. I know there was a similar case that actually happened here in Sacramento at a similar time.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting if Hooton showed up in Prescription Thugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of halfway expecting that, but at the same time.
But that didn't maybe end so well.
Yeah, maybe
Chris's relationship with him.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't know because it's an outtake, but Chris left that interview and broke down.
Yeah.
He had a big breakdown. Like the car, he's driving the car and he has to pull over.
Yeah. It's sad.
The camera's rolling the whole time because it's like, this guy, however you feel about about Don Hooten. He lost his kid. Yeah, right. His kid was his, you know, was his world.
Right.
And just that loss is, you know, palpable in the film, in Bigger, Stronger, Faster.
On a lighter note, what about all the pizza?
Oh, pizza was delicious.
I think I had 5 different kinds of pizza from different places. Desserts.
You were sending me all kinds of pictures. Donuts and shit.
Yeah, there's a donut place we stayed at. Shout out to Drew and Chrissy May for letting us stay there. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, you stayed at their crib.
And so they gave us the donut place down the street. We went there once.
Donut plant.
Yeah, very good.
Shout out donut plant.
Very good.
Chrissy just opened up a new gym out in
Reno, Nevada. Reno.
Black Iron Gym, right? Yep. Is it officially open?
I think
it opened yesterday.
Yeah, no, there was a grand opening.
Yeah,
but fucking Google it, all right?
Yeah,
check it out.
Well, I'm sure we'll go visit eventually. Yeah. It's not too far. And then desserts in Little Italy.
Yeah,
but the best food I probably had was in Boston. The next day.
Yeah, I think Boston it doesn't get enough credit for being fat.
Yeah, my boyfriend AJ Pappas took me on a date. And little Sammy tagged along. It was kind of awkward. Me and AJ were trying to get intimate, and she just came.
Cute girls fucking mucking up everything.
Yeah, she really ruined me and AJ's flow. But we had a lovely Italian dinner, and then we shared a cannoli.
AJ's handsome.
Oh, my God.
Let's just face the facts. That's a pretty boy right there. 100%.
I don't remember what he looks like. I know.
Imagine David Beckham
and
Brad
Pitt. He looks like David Beckham had a baby with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Holy shit, he's very handsome. Yep.
I'm kind of aroused.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Just look him up. Look up AJ
Pappas.
I'm sure
if you could Google AJ, that'd be great if he listens to this. We're fucking Googling
the best part about him is, you know, he's very thin. He's a super athletic guy. He does CrossFit. He works for Reebok.
He used to smash triathletes or whatever.
He's always talking about fighting, which is the funniest thing. But I'd imagine, you know, being a guy like that, that everybody's girlfriend likes, you know, probably makes people want to kick his ass.
Yeah, stop fucking all their girlfriends, buddy.
Boyfriends. What we end up always saying about guys that are really good looking, you're like, yeah, that guy's so gay. You know, you just pass it off as like, yeah, that guy, you know. You try to say something, or he's so skinny.
They have nice hair, they're dressed nice.
Oh, Brad Pitt, he's so skinny. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Who would want to be with Brad Pitt? Right?
Yeah.
You try to talk shit. And chicks are worse, though.
They kill each other.
They kill each other. They'll just say she's a bitch. You know, like if a girl's super hot and they can't find one other thing wrong with her.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
Or she's annoying.
She's a slut.
This guy?
Yeah, there he is. Oh, look at those nipples.
Yeah, why are your nipples? He's got a power belt on and just some nipples popping.
He's got a little beard
going. Cut glass.
Wowee.
He could cut glass for a living with those.
Wowee, AJ.
Yeah, why are his nipples so hard?
I don't know.
Maybe he's listening to the PowerCast and some headphones right there and some earbuds.
Yeah, getting fired up for his deadlift, whatever he's about to do.
Yeah.
That was right about the time we started this show, so maybe.
Another great thing about Prescription Thugs was me being able to see, you know, a big part of my family. I got to see my cousins, my uncles, and my aunts.
The Bell reunion.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. I haven't seen anybody in years. I haven't been back to New York in a long time. So that was really cool. Talking to my cousin Steven and my cousin Stacy and stuff like that, who I was super close to as a kid.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, we just used to, you know, play basketball together, baseball, football. We just always just kill each other. You know, somebody was always screaming or crying. A lot of times it was me because I was the youngest of everybody.
But now everyone's grown up with kids, opposite sides of the country.
Yeah, I'm still crying all the time.
Eating ice cream and donuts.
But, yeah, it was great to see all them. And, you know, it is, you know, seeing my uncles and stuff. My uncle John is a coach. And he's been a coach for a bunch of family members are
high
coaches.
High school or Little League or something?
He's a high school football coach.
Oh, cool.
Croton Tigers, I believe. I believe that's where he's at now. He's coached many different places, but I think for the last decade or more, I think he's been there. So he just has a coach's like mentality. He's got a coach's way about him. And when I saw him, he hugged me. He always kisses me, too. Like a couple of my family members kiss. I don't know why. It's weird.
Italians.
Yeah, maybe it's that thing. Just to kind of tell you that they love you sort of thing. But my uncle's got a certain way about him. You know, he kind of grabbed me by the neck, by the back of the neck, and he just looked me right in the eye. He's like, I am so proud of you.
Oh, man.
And I was like, thank you. He's like, no. He's like, I'm really proud of the man that you become. He's like, it's great to, he goes, I watch all the stuff on Facebook and all the different things that are going on. He's like, I'm watching all the time. He's like, congratulations. He's like, and your kids, you've got beautiful kids. And he's giving me like this, it's almost like it's a serious talk about like life, but it's almost like like when he was done talking to me, I felt like fucking running through a curtain and fucking killing people on a football field or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's what he does for a living.
Yeah, he does. So he's fucking great at it. So that was really cool. He's one of those guys who's not afraid to tell you exactly how he feels. You know,
the movie premiere, there's quite a few people because there's different movies going on. But me, Mark, Jim, Andy, Sandy all go together. And
Ubering around.
Yeah, we go up the elevator, and I just start picking out bells. I can just tell. A bell. It's like, that guy's a bell. That guy's a bell.
Yeah, Steven's the easiest, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, looks like a more jacked boar.
He looks like a power lifter.
Sorry, boar.
So he doesn't even lift.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? I told you about that.
Yeah, he looks like a bencher.
Yeah, he's all jacked. He's never very strong, I don't think. Aww. From what I remember. He was athletic. Yeah.
Sorry, Steven.
Yeah. Yeah. He's old and fat now. He'll admit it. He understands. No. That was kind of cool when we got out of that car and we had that security guy.
They all have lists. I talked to him afterwards. You know, they have profiles of all the people they're supposed to bring in.
Mark Bell picture.
Mark Bell, how many with you? Follow me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Mr. Bell. He's like, how many is in your party?
Yeah.
You know, and he just kind of grabbed hold of us and ushered us in there.
Yeah,
which
that's his job. He's security and he brings in, you know, James Franco to his movies and blah, 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 Jennifer Connelly or whoever else is there that are high profile people. He just sneaks them in.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the red carpet setup was great. I've never been a part of anything like that before, so that was cool.
Right next to the popcorn stand.
Yeah, because that was off to the side. The one for Bigger, Stronger, Faster in Hollywood was like you actually had to walk down.
Yeah.
This one was set up as a big step and repeat. Yeah.
It was just a regular movie theater
area. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was an awesome setup.
Very neat.
What else we got to talk about? Anything else?
Nothing at
all. What about your diet? You're doing something with your diet.
I've been doing something different lately.
Been chopping down trees.
Yeah, man, just tightening things up. I was beat up for a long time. Got a little bit stronger, but just frustrated, so I'm going to cut down a little bit.
You can't get much stronger, so you're just going to get leaner.
Yeah.
That's sort of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, my back was just hurting, so training wasn't going how I wanted. Plus traveling, you know, it's really hard to keep like any kind of plan going training-wise. So I figured
I think that's good advice, though, for anybody out there. Someone, you know, they bust their ankle or they fucking hurt their elbow or their knee. You know, take that time as
don't get fatter.
Take that time as a time to maybe introduce some light cardio and try to drop a couple lbs and feel better rather than maybe you're not lifting better, but you can't lift all that good anyway when you're hurt.
Yeah. So this is like the first like drastic cut I'm going to do. I'm going a little bit more aggressive than normal, just cutting my calories a little harder. Still just tracking everything, cleaning it up. You know, typical stuff. Eating out a little bit less, only a couple times a week, and really stay strict on it. Hitting sprints 3 to 4 times a week.
What does staying strict mean? Because you basically follow like you're more of a counting your calories thing.
Yeah.
So
even though
when you go stricter, do you switch out a couple of junk things that you might normally allow yourself to have?
Yeah, I think that's like the miscommunication with everything. Obviously, the internet. You know, people hear like flexible dieting and like eating ice cream all the time, but like flexible dieting allows me not to eat every 2 hours. You know, when we're traveling, you know, like we're going to LA in a little bit, me and Mark aren't going to be able to eat 6 times a day.
Right.
And I'll still be able to be on my plan eating 2 to 3 times a day.
Right.
Kind of eating Chipotle, you know, it's beans, rice and steak, and I'll just account for the fat.
Right.
I'm not out eating donuts all the time. Like when I'm heavier, I can get away with some of that.
Right,
but as I'm lighter, it's just more vegetables. It's more rice. It's more chicken, less
really
red meat.
The truth of it always is, you know, if you want to be leaner, then there'll be like less Chipotle and more eating inside your home,
especially
and controlling the food that you're putting in your system. Right?
I'd say especially for like people that are beginners or have less muscle, you know, the less general food you can handle normally.
Right.
Obviously, genetics play a role.
Right.
You know, there's some guys like Alberto Nunez who's eating 500 carbs a day. And he has to hammer some of that.
Yeah.
You can't eat 500 grams of rice. Like, that's fucking
I'd also say,
lot.
You know, you want to try to avoid anything that will, like, stimulate you into, you know, get you excited towards like trying to cheat or trying to go off your
plan.
There's
a mental thing that people
don't
talk about.
So if you have like a lot of flavor, the more flavor that you have, I think the more opportunity that there is there to kind of fuck up. At the same time, healthy foods don't have to taste like shit.
Yeah.
But I think the more that you stick to, you know, being strict at eating spinach and broccoli and fish and chicken and the things that are lean and things that are naturally occurring, probably the better off that you're going
to
be.
I think that's the biggest benefit of eating more often, too.
Right.
I don't necessarily think you have to eat 6 times a day or 6 times a day is better than 5 times.
Right.
I do think three to six better than one.
Right.
In terms of like protein synthesis and all some
it's
of these details.
It's probably somewhat debatable, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I think the benefit is that if you're, you know, you have a meal ready and you're going to eat it in 3 hours, then you're not going to go grab a fucking milkshake in between.
You don't have room for even a protein bar, really, at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's, like for me, I'm still eating some protein bars. I'm chugging coffee like a mother.
Yeah.
The only calorie drink I'm really handling is some milk here and there.
Yeah.
And that's like in my coffee. Coffee's another thing.
Something
that's
easy
me.
With a protein bar is it, you know, it's packaged and it has the calories listed on there. You don't have to even weigh it.
Right.
You know, it says it's 200 calories and you eat that.
And it's not going to be exact, but it'll be close enough for our goals.
And maybe it allows you to kind of ride out some time. That you don't have to eat food and that you only ate 200 calories in the last 5-6 hours rather than...
That's what I'm going on right now.
You know what I mean? Having a meal that
has we had a podcast calories. A little bit early, hammered a bar, hammered some milk. Yeah. You know, milk's not that bad of a source. I know it gets some flack here and there, but...
It depends on your gut, I think.
Yeah, I think you can tolerate it.
If you can drink milk, drink a little bit of milk. I gained no weight on this trip.
Yeah, well, we measured one day. We walked 10 hours or 10 miles.
Yeah, we had awesome. Yeah.
I felt great coming back too. I feel weak, but I feel good walking around that much.
I had a day in DC where basically I just didn't. I had one meal, and it wasn't on purpose. I just wasn't hungry. But the thing I've discovered after that is I'm one of those people that just goes through phases where anything that I eat bloats my stomach. It's not. You know, it's not a specific thing. I've eliminated things before. Doesn't seem to make any difference. I go through periods of time where anything I eat will bloat my stomach up.
Mm.
Not eating most of a day and having one big meal and then nothing more has kind of reset.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that. So it's a lot easier for me to lose weight when it feels like I'm making it better.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Made the digestion better.
Mm.
In terms of training, I think I can speak for Mark, too, that him and I don't really change our training. We'll add cardio, but we're still going to lift heavy. We're going to bench or squat heavy 2 to 3 times a month.
The only exception might be just to try to move a little bit more. So
we'll turn up our supersets.
Maybe after the main movement, not necessarily during the main movement, especially like during a squat. And especially like we use a monolift a lot of times and we're trying to spot each other. It gets to be very difficult to run off to the other side of the gym and really do anything. Sometimes during a bench press, though, we might mix in face pulls or some seated rows or something like that, and just to kind of keep the heart rate elevated.
But I still think it's important just to lift heavy. Like Mark has, you know, 20-inch arms because he's been benching 500 pounds. So if you go automatically, he goes to 315 only,
but
sets of 10, like that muscle mass was there to lift that amount of weight. It's important to keep as much muscle as you can while you're dieting. No one looks good skinny fat. So our point is
you always want to challenge yourself too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Our point when dieting is to maintain as much strength as we can, maintain as much muscle as we can, and strip purely as much fat as we can. Obviously, it's impossible to lose pure fat.
Something we did a few workouts ago is we just did like sets of 5 all the way up. I think it was when we were lifting. I had the chains on there. Maybe you didn't Maybe you didn't have the chains on there. I can't remember.
Benching.
No, it's just benching. Yeah. We just did sets of 5 until we couldn't do sets of 5 anymore. And
but we're still touching heavy weights.
Unfortunately, those sets of 5 are lower than the sets of 5 that you know, we might normally do.
Yeah,
so what? The main goal and what we're trying to do is to get leaner.
Right.
And you can always regain the strength. The strength will obviously come back when you gain the weight back, which you should do. I believe you should go up and down unless you're super fat.
Yeah.
Then you might not.
Or if
ever,
you're super skinny, it might be time just to put on some muscle for a good like 3 years.
Yeah, you might not ever want to look back. But I do think that you should try to recomp all the time and try to get better and better. And the strength can come back also just over a period of time. If you weigh if I go down to 240, I'm like 255 now. If I go down to 240 and I stay there for a year, the strength will go back up after, you know, if I'm sitting there for a few months.
Yeah, what's the end game with this, Smelly? You said you want to get a little bit leaner than the BSN shoot. Do you have a goal body weight wise? I know leanness is kind of always the goal, but what's the number maybe you're shooting for in terms of pounds lost or a timeline?
Yeah, basically, when I dropped from 330 to 290 a long time ago using like the paleo diet, I just said, you know, I'll never weigh 300 again, you know. And then when I went from 290 down to like 240, I just said I'd never want to weigh over 260 again, and I've been able to manage that. So now what I want to do is drop down to about 235, 240 and never weigh over like 250 again, you know. So I'm trying to I just think, as I get older, weighing above 250 is probably not great. I know some people do, but I just, for my own self, I'd rather be able to be healthier, be able to move a little bit better. I was able to do some pull-ups the other day for the first time.
Hey, you're hitting some sprints with us again.
Yeah, I'm able to do some lunges and some different things that, even though those things sound incredibly easy, they became difficult for me for whatever fucking reason, injuries and 9,000 other excuses. But, you know, I lost sight of some of those different things. I'm not as athletic as I was, and I missed that. I was very athletic as a kid, and I lost a lot of those attributes, and I'd like to be able to get better at those as I get older and not just continue to lose more and more abilities. I'd rather gain more. And so I don't necessarily care as much about getting stronger. I'd like to keep a 500-pound bench, and I'd like to, I'm not going to probably even bother to test my body fat, but I'd like to be about 240 or so.
Are you going
to
– do you got a timeline? You going to try to hit this by a certain point?
It should be in the next about 6 weeks. This is the first week I've been able to be on the plan 100%. So
yeah, that's
this
kind of
this first couple days really actually of it. So
that's kind of my goal is for the first time ever to like get it by June. Got some stuff with Reebok One. Got to be jacked.
Whenever you're starting a diet, you know, getting everything in place is one of the fucking hardest things. You know, getting your food. Going to the store and getting the different foods.
Know. I took Fat Dan shopping.
I mean, it sounds simple. But that process alone could take you 2 or 3 weeks to get into the right groove of it and to make sure that you have a constant supply of food around. Learning the timing of everything, you know, waking up at the right time to start to get your meals in, is important as well. Getting your cardio in and fitting everything, all the things in that you need to get in. You heard John Anderson, we had him on the podcast a long time ago. He, started talking about waking up at like 4:30 in the morning just to like, and Stan talks about he'll wake up super early too and sometimes even go back to bed just because he's got to get the whole routine going. And it's a tedious one. It's a task that's what I admire so much about bodybuilding and think is so amazing about it is that it's 24 hour, 7 day a week fucking process. There's no other sport that's remotely close to that.
Yeah.
If you play basketball, you might, Kobe Bryant or whoever's at the top of their game, they might practice for 6 hours, 7 hours, maybe 8 hours. Maybe they run, maybe they lift, and maybe they play basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe they work on certain drills, and maybe it's a long day. Maybe it's 8 or 10 hour day, but it's not a 24 hour day.
Yeah.
The way some of these guys, some of these athletes are starting to treat themselves little bit more like that now.
The best one is Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan just turned 38 or 39,
right?
And he just scored 30 points in a big playoff game.
Yeah,
that's unheard of. No one's ever done that. No one has ever done that.
On top of
he's like Tim Duncan's the first guy to eat well. He's the first guy to train well. He's the first guy to sleep good.
Yeah. And, obviously a Karl Malone and some of those dudes and Jordan, I'm sure.
Yeah, but not that late.
Right.
They didn't last to 39.
Right.
Karl Malone was a junk in L.A. and he was like 37.
Yeah.
The first guy to be really successful at 38, 39.
Right.
But that's why people looked at Barry Bonds the way they did, too.
Yeah, maybe.
And why? Barry Bonds just got his conviction overturned, so...
Is he going to be able to be in the Hall of Fame, maybe?
It's going to take a long time. I think it's possible that it may take until the Veterans Committee is the one that's...
We should make a Super Training Hall of Fame.
We should make a Steroid Hall of Fame.
Super Training Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds, first one in.
We could do that.
Yeah.
We could do that.
The Steroid Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Lance Armstrong, number two.
Ben Johnson would be number one. He changed it. He changed the game.
He did change the game. When strolling Ben Johnson. I didn't take what they said I took, but I took something.
Yeah, I know.
Reference bigger, stronger, faster.
That was amazing. I think we're good here.
Benny Johnson.
Oh, any cardio? You mixed it? Well, you do.
Yeah, 3 to 4 times a week. I'm hitting some sprints with the Prowler. You said 2 or something.
How long are those sprints?
So I'm going all out as hard as I can. from anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds. Normally, I just choose a path rather than a time.
Right.
You know, so we I do them in our parking lot.
But you have to reverse, so there's like a tiny...
Yeah, but
you know,
sometimes I'll go the long way too. But yeah, 15 to 30 seconds all out. And then for now, because I'm just getting back into them, I'll kind of recover till I'm breathing medium heavy rather than breathing really heavy. And then soon I'll do them every minute.
I just...
Like 7 rounds.
I just started doing it yesterday, and it just about killed me. You know, I think... People have the wrong idea about even steady state cardio. Even when you're doing steady state cardio, your heart rate should be around 140, 150.
You should be breathing.
You should be breathing hard. You should hate every second of it, really. Yeah. It should be awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a fucking pain in the ass to do. I got 40 minutes of that twice a week, and then I have like about 30 minutes of sprint type interval cardio twice a week. So four times a week.
Steady state or, you know, low intensity cardio gets a bad vibe because,
you think you're just supposed to move in slow motion. Well,
you think low. You hear low and you hear steady, but it shouldn't be the same as us walking 10 miles around New York.
Now, if you're on day one and you're super heavy, then
literally the definition is anything you can handle over 15 minutes. If you can do more than 15 minutes of it, then it becomes, you know, low state, like hit. People say, oh, I did some high intensity. Like, just do it because you're doing burpees for an hour doesn't make it high intensity.
No.
Right. High intensity, you cannot
sustain.
Yeah, after 30 seconds, you know.
Right.
Most people, though, about 2 weeks of steady state, and suddenly they can't get their heart rate up there anymore.
Yeah, it can be inefficient after a while.
Really quickly, it seems like.
Well, you just got to change the stimulus.
That's why Stan started with walking, he said, and then he switched to walking to running stairs.
Same as lifting, right? You bench 135 for a month and it's heck easy, then you probably add some tens on there.
Well, it seems like that's the trick of HIIT, too, is that you're changing the demand structure to that energy system. So, you know, as opposed to it being a steady state, you're going from being at rest to being at a kind of fierce interval, and then you're tapering back to being at rest. And
you're basically finding a way to try to chew up some calories, and even if it's steady state, if you're going to do it, why not do it with some intensity?
Yeah.
You know, just even though it's not called high intensity, the steady state cardio has less intensity associated with it, but you should still be going pretty hard. You should still be fucking drenched in sweat when you do it. I'm drenched in sweat right now.
And you're doing it, brother.
Haven't even done anything.
Yeah. Well, the lights aren't even hot in here.
Butt crack sweat. All right. I think that's it. You guys got anything else going on?
I don't have anything else this time around.
When is this thing going to air? Is this going
to Wednesday?
What's today? This Monday?
Wednesday. In like a day or two.
Tuesday, Wednesday. So the next episode after this, we'll have Ashley Beaver and Colleen.
Foch.
How do you say your last? Foch.
It kind of rhymes with.
Mm-hmm. Beaver. but it'd be awesome to have those two girls on. If you're not familiar with them, check them out on their Instagrams.
Colleen Foch and
it's
FOTSCH
maybe.
Yep.
You'll find her. She's super hot. Once you find the super hot
girl, big jacked,
click on
girl.
Her, follow her.
Living
also
Paleo.
Also follow Living Paleo, which is Ashley Beaver. We're gonna have both. I know Beaver. Get over
it. We get it.
Well, don't get over it. We'll talk about it the entire time once we have her on the show. We're going to have those ladies lift in here. We're going to have them do a super training wad.
I'm going to hop in.
They'll be wadding all over the place, and hopefully they can PR all over us. And we'll see what happens. Five sets of five, bench, squat, deadlift.
For 5 rounds.
For 5 rounds. 5 times 5 times 5 times 5. Add that fucking up, Mike.
236.
That's a little something we were exposed to at
No, we made it up. Stop lying. We made it up.
Well, there's...
We got exposed.
Yeah.
Am I still on? I can't hear myself. Hello?
I can hear you.
Hello? Hello?
I think your headphone is down. Anyway. Your mic is down. Down a bit, so.
Face down, ass up.
Can you hear yourself now?
Hey, now. Right. I can.
Okay.
Multiply a hustle. Multiply a muscle. Strength is never a weakness. May all your shits be tapered. And that's it from me. Thank you.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 Ks. And stay healthy, my friends.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I would want you to find me, which is Instagram and Twitter for the most part. Although people are finding me on Facebook every day, and that's all right, too. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Twitter at STJimSack, Facebook.com/SupertrainingJim. Also, check out the videos at Supertraining TV and Supertraining.tv and YouTube.com/Supertraining06 and Supertraining TV, and we're out.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues. Take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's PowerCast is a production of supertraining.tv.